Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Se Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. First, Bibi Netanyahu, Bibi, signing a joint statement, whitewashing and covering up all of the Polish Nazi crimes during the Holocaust. And we're going to discuss just how murderous and vile Nazi Poland was during and after the Holocaust. And how disgraceful it is that Bibi, the Holocaust denier, is signing these types of agreements with the Jew-hating government of Poland. And the second subject we want to discuss, you know, we've been telling you this now ever since it started, ever since Donald Trump got on his hands and knees before that North Korean Hitler, that North Korean Nazi dictator, begging him for an agreement, and then saying that he had solved the problem. We're going to discuss that, how he's continuing to kiss North Korean ass and endangering American security and endangering the security of the world by his policies. And he's doing the same thing with Russia, and he's doing the same thing with Saudi Arabia. It's just unbelievable how dangerous this orange buffoon in the White House really is. But let's start off with Poland. First of all, during the Holocaust itself, the Poles did everything they could to assist the German Nazis to murder over 6 million Jews. There were 3.5 million Jews in Poland before the war, before World War II. 90% of Polish Jewry were murdered during the war, with the complete cooperation and assistance of the Polish Nazi people. Yes, the Polish Nazi people. They were thrilled to see the Jews murdered and to steal all the Jewish property and do all the terrible things they did to the Jews, who were the only light in that godforsaken primitive nation of drunks. For 1,000 years, the only light in Poland were the Jews. And the Jews and the Polish Jews were geniuses. They were brilliant, creative people living among a bunch of primitive, evil, bloodthirsty, jealous, vicious, sadistic people. And so the Poles did everything they could to help the Germans murder 6 million Jews. And this was at a time when Poland had been at war with Germany and Germany occupied Poland. In other words, the Poles were fighting. With one hand, they were fighting the German Nazis who had occupied and invaded their country. And with the other hand, though, they were helping the German Nazis murder Polish Jews. That they were happy about. The fact that Polish Jews were being murdered, that part of the war they were happy about. So with one hand, they fought the German Nazis. With the other hand, they helped the German Nazis to murder the Polish Jews. And not just the Polish Jews, because later the Germans brought Jews in from all over Europe into the Polish death camps because they knew that the Poles would assist in the murder of the Jews, which they enthusiastically did. Now, the worst death camps, the worst German Nazi death camps during the Holocaust were located in Poland, like Auschwitz. Auschwitz was the worst, the most murderous of all of them. The worst death camps were put in Poland. Why did the Germans put these death camps in Poland? Because they knew the Polish people would cooperate, not only cooperate, they would be thrilled to join in the mass murder. They knew that no one in Poland would object or mind, and in fact, they'd be thrilled to help see the Jews annihilated. And so Auschwitz and the worst murder factories were located in Poland deliberately because the Germans knew that the local population, the local Polish population, wanted to see all the Jews exterminated. Many of the worst Nazi death camp guards were Poles. Many of the worst Nazi war criminals who had slaughtered innocent men, Jewish men, women, children, babies, slaughtered huge numbers of innocent people in the most brutal, sadistic way, carrying out the worst crimes in human history. Many of them were Poles. And in fact, when the Jewish section of Warsaw, the Warsaw Ghetto, finally rose up and started rebelling and fighting back against the German Nazis, And the German Nazis finally went house by house and burned the entire Polish ghetto to the ground and literally burned almost all the Jews, literally burned almost all the Jews in the in the Warsaw Ghetto. And by the way, the Warsaw Ghetto resisted heroically, courageously. The Warsaw Ghetto, thousands of unarmed, starving, desperate Jews with Jewish brains held off the German Nazi army longer than all of Poland, longer than all of France. I mean, they fought back heroically, the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto. We saw a precursor to the brave Israeli Jewish soldiers that in the 1967-68 war and elsewhere. We saw the return of Jewish bravery, because the Jews for many years were accused of being cowardly in battle, when in fact we know that historically, especially in ancient times, and especially we see in recent history with the Israeli victories, the Jews do make very brave and very effective soldiers when they decide to fight back, when they decide to act like Jews. But in any event, the Polish Jewish ghetto, they went house by house and burned house by house down, firebombed house by house. And finally, the Jews fighting back, by the way, with homemade Molotov cocktails and just homemade bombs. They had nothing there in the ghetto. They had been starving and desperate and cornered for a long time, and they had nothing left to fight against. And even at that point, they fought back to the end. And the German Nazis burned them all out. And when the German Jewish ghetto was burning, in the non-Jewish section of Poland, the Polish Catholics were dancing and celebrating, watching the Jews burn, and singing and dancing and saying, "The Jews are burning." They were thrilled to see the Jews burn. So that's the history of the Poles during the Holocaust. Murderers, jealous, vicious criminals. No less responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews than the German people. Just as responsible as the German people, the Austrian people, and other Nazi peoples in Europe that fully and enthusiastically participated in the genocide. And by the way, just to show how vicious, how hateful, how evil the Polish people were toward the Jews and their attitude toward the Jews. Some of the Jews after the war, they had nowhere to go. No country was willing to accept them. The war was over. The concentration camps had been liberated, but they had nowhere to go. So some of them went back to their old towns in Poland, the Jewish refugees, the people who had survived. Many of them were just single people whose entire families had been thrown into ovens and gas chambers and tortured to death. And mutilated and tortured to death, their children, their families, their wives, all murdered, their parents all slaughtered. And they, as surviving desperate refugees, went back to their towns because they had nowhere else to go. And in one town, Kielce, there's one town in southern Poland called Kielce, and some of the Jewish refugees who had lived in Kielce before the war went back to that town. And on July 4th, 1946, more than a year after the war ended, on July 4th, 1946, all of a sudden, Polish soldiers and Polish police and Polish civilians and their Polish non-Jewish neighbors came out and started slaughtering the Jewish refugees, the Jewish Holocaust survivors, slaughtered them. 42 Jews were murdered in that pogrom, a pogrom after the Holocaust, after they had already murdered over 6 million Jews, after they had already wiped out over 90% of Polish Jewry were wiped out, after they had committed this horrific, the worst crime in history against the Jewish people. After they had done this, more than a year after the war is over and the Holocaust, and more than a year after the Holocaust finally ended, they carried out another pogrom in Poland and murdered 42 Jewish men, women, and children. Just slaughtered them. And these were Polish soldiers and police officers, civilians, their neighbors for years, their Polish non-Jewish neighbors. This shows you what it was all about. In other words, the Holocaust wasn't even good enough for them. The fact that any Jew survived was something they were horrified to see, that any Jew even survived, that any Jew was even left breathing bothered them. That's how not Nazi-like, that's what a bunch of Nazis the Poles were and are. And now the Polish government passes laws saying you're not allowed, it's against the law, to reveal any of this history. In other words, they pass a law requiring people to distort history on the Holocaust and not reveal Poland's crimes during the Holocaust. Because the Poles have created, together with self-hating Jews, they have created this mythology that the Polish people were also victims of the Holocaust. The Polish people, together with the Germans, carried out the Holocaust. They were the victims of the Holocaust? What, are you kidding me? It's true that the Germans did kill non-Jewish Poles. But that had nothing to do with the fact that the non-Jewish Polish population, almost the entire non-Jewish Polish population, hated the Jews with a passion and helped murder the Jews. An unforgivable crime by any standard. They will suffer for eternity. God will never forgive and never forget what they did to his people. Yes, the Jews are his people. And you know, the Poles are such religious Catholics. They bow before a Jew, before a dead Jew. They bow before a Jew. So they obviously believe that the Bible means something, and yet they don't read their own Bible. They don't read enough in their own Bible to see that the Jews are, that it says in the Bible that the Jews are God's chosen people and that he made with them an eternal covenant, forever and ever an eternal covenant. Now comes in Bibi Netanyahu into the picture. And he right away, because the Polish government was being attacked for their Nazi-like, they're passing all these Nazi-like laws. And so they're being attacked. And so Bibi Netanyahu comes to the rescue to help the Polish Nazis. And signs an agreement with the Polish government, whitewashing and covering up all the Polish Nazi crimes. And agreeing to all the Polish Nazi propaganda about what Poland's role was in the Holocaust. If ever there was a reason for you to be proud to be part of JTF and to help JTF and to contribute to JTF, it's because this is an organization that exposes the real truth about the Holocaust and that does not forget what was done to our people during the Holocaust. Jews and righteous Gentiles should be proud to support an organization like that. And we bring truth to the Jews of Israel who are being bombarded by endless propaganda by the Netanyahu regime and the Israeli news media about what happened during the Holocaust. And so we bring a truth that nobody else will bring to the Jewish people. And what we tell the Jewish people is the truth about what happened. The second subject we want to discuss is North Korea. Because, you know, we've been saying for quite a while now that Donald Trump's begging of the North Korean Hitler to come to an agreement with him is so nauseating and so pathetic. This is the same North Korean dictator, or it's the same regime. His father and his grandfather, you know, several generations of the same regime, that have signed endless agreements swearing that they would never build nuclear bombs in the first place. And of course, they've now built an arsenal of nuclear weapons and are spreading it all over the world. They've broken every agreement they've ever signed with anybody. They have murdered 2 million of their own people. 2 million North Koreans have been starved to death under this barbaric, monstrous regime. North Korean children have stunted growth because he starves his own children. The children in his country are starved, not his own children. The elite, the few people that are part of the elite, the military and the people that are in the elite, they get plenty to eat. But 95% of the population, 90% or 95% of the population are starving, are desperate, desperate. And this is the regime that Donald Trump trusts. And you know, because he put his prestige on the line, because that egomaniac Donald Trump put his prestige on the line now, he won't go back. No matter what the North Korean does to him, he's continuing to make excuses and endangering the world because Trump wants to save face at any cost. And at any cost now, he'll make an agreement. The North Koreans see that they have him by the you-know-what. So they realize what the situation is, and they're taking full advantage of it. And they're humiliating him in front of the whole world. The North Korean government just referred to Trump's call for denuclearization, which we were told the North Koreans agreed to. We were told the North Koreans had agreed to denuclearization. which of course is something they agreed to many times over the years and have never kept their word. But with Trump, they supposedly again agreed to denuclearization. All the Trumpsters said, oh, look what he's accomplished. And Trump himself said, the North Korean nuclear problem has been solved. I've solved the problem, he said. He said, my predecessors couldn't do it. Obama couldn't do it. Bush couldn't do it. I solved the problem. He said, the problem is already solved. North Korea's agreed to denuclearization. And he and Pompeo, Secretary of State Pompeo, that other jerk, were saying that within a year, North Korea is going to give up all of their nukes. Now the North Korean media and the official North Korean state-controlled media saying that Trump's demands for denuclearization are, quote, gangster-like and cancerous. In other words, now to ask them to denuclearize is cancerous and gangster-like. That's their latest statements. I mean, they've made a complete fool out of the orange buffoon in the White House. What a jerk. And Pompeo, the Secretary of State, went there to beg them again. He went to meet with Kim Jong-un, and Kim Jong-un refused to see him. And the North Korean foreign minister was humiliating him at the negotiating table openly in front of the press, saying, I bet you didn't sleep well last night after everything that happened. And he's, I mean, being humiliated in front of the whole world, he's continuing to kiss their tuchus. He said the talks with North Korea were productive. After the North Koreans said that Donald Trump is a gangster and a cancer, Pompeo described the talks as productive. I mean, you talk about appeasement. You talk about begging and getting on your hands and knees. I mean, this is the worst. This is unbelievable. The arrogance of the North Koreans. They're smacking Trump's face in front of the whole world, smacking him back and forth and knocking him down and humiliating him in front of the whole world. And he's getting up and saying, thank you very much. Give me more. This is the danger when you have an egomaniac in the White House who cannot even conceive of having any failure in life. He wants to convince everybody he's such a genius. He's such a great negotiator. He's a moron. But he's trying to convince people that he's such a great negotiator, the art of the deal, that he can make deals. He's a great deal maker. And so if the North Korean thing falls apart, that was his big thing. If the North Korean thing falls apart, he's going to look terrible. Historically and otherwise, he's going to look terrible. So he has to beg and accept basically an agreement on any terms. That's so dangerous for the world. That is the ultimate dangerous thing for the world. In other words, he's going to, in the end, agree to prop up North Korea's regime and to give them benefits. He's already made concessions to them. He canceled all of the joint United States-South Korean military exercises, something which Obama refused to do, something which Bush refused to do. He right away canceled it. By the way, when he canceled it, his own Defense Department, his own Defense Secretary Mattis, and his own military people didn't know he was going to do this. Always when a president goes and makes concessions, he always, you know, he lets his own people know that he's willing to make these concessions. He never even told them that he was going to do something like this. They opposed it. They would have been against it. They're against making these concessions. They think it's dangerous not to continue to have joint military exercises with South Korea. And so he's already making concessions and caving in and giving in and kissing their behind to no avail. They're just slapping him around and spitting in his face in front of the whole world. What a disgrace. What a disgrace he is. And make America great again? He's humiliating America more than Obama did. Oh, even Obama never did this. This Obama never did. And the same thing in Russia. He's going to meet in a few days now with Putin, with the Soviet dictator Putin in Russia. And I say Soviet dictator because Putin wants to recreate the Soviet Union and runs Russia like the old Soviet Union. Putin just, by the way, he just injected poison into a woman in Britain, in London. I mean, he goes to foreign countries, Western foreign countries, and poisons people, and his agents go and attack people on foreign soil. I mean, this is very Soviet-like behavior, very Soviet-like. And Trump laughed at that and said, oh, everybody says Putin, KGB, Putin, Putin's whole life was with the KGB, which is the Soviet Gestapo. And Trump was mocking this at one of his rallies with all the retarded people that go to his rallies. He was mocking it and saying, no, we should be friends with Putin. Putin and Russia are okay. They're okay. It's not true. They're okay. And all the Trumpsters, all the retarded Trumpsters go, oh yes,
Donald, make America great again. Oh yeah.
All the trailer trash with a third grade education, because that's the average Trump supporter. I mean, wow. What boy, what this country is elected and what this country is about to go through. It is really, I mean, it is really, really a pathetic situation. On every front, we see this level of appeasement. I mean, we see this type of behavior whenever we have enemies, Trump bows before them. We know that Russia's blackmailing him. We know that Putin has the goods on him, so he has to do whatever Putin tells him to do. So we in effect have a Soviet agent in the White House who will do the bidding of our enemies in the White House. This is what we have as President of the United States. JTF was right. We were right about Trump. And you're in for quite a shock in the end. I mean, this is not going to end well. This is not going to end well. And by the way, make America great again, right? Illegal aliens are still coming across the border. The number of illegals is still going up. The budget deficit and the national debt, which Trump said would bankrupt and destroy the United States, is growing at a faster rate than it was under Obama. All the bad things that Trump spoke about under Obama are continuing under Trump. It's true the stock market has gone up. And that's why they say that, oh, look at the unemployment figures, by the way, that are issued by the federal government, which Trump said are rigged and are a fraud. And he was telling the truth then. Now he says, because I'm president, now they're not rigged and they're not a fraud anymore. They're the same statistics. The unemployment statistics are a farce, okay? And certainly the budget deficit and the national debt, that's growing at an alarming rate. That's now $21 trillion. It was $19 trillion when Trump was running. It was $19 trillion. And he said, if it becomes $21 trillion, we're in a lot of trouble. It's now $21 trillion. Has anybody paid attention? Does anybody care? As we march toward a situation where the United States is going to face the prospect of bankruptcy? Does anybody care? Does anybody think this is a serious problem? Build that wall. Not a single brick has been laid for that wall. Trump recently said, we have to continue building the wall. Continue building the wall. I mean, this guy never stops lying. And it doesn't bother you. He lies and lies, and you lie, and you lie to yourselves. Build that wall. Build the wall. Build the wall. Not one brick has been laid for that wall. The only thing Trump has done is he's repaired some of the fencing that Obama put up. Obama and Bush put fences in certain parts of the border. And Congress appropriated funds to repair some of the fences that had been damaged. So it's the same fence that you had under Obama, the same fence under Bush. No wall has been built. No wall. Nothing. Nothing has been built. Not one brick has been laid for any wall. And he said it was going to be a wall. It was going to stretch thousands of miles across the U.S.-Mexico border. Not one brick has been laid for the wall. He said it was going to be a big wall, a big structure that would prevent people from coming across. He said it just grew another 10 feet, and it's going to be 30 feet and 40 feet high, and I'm going to make it even higher and higher every time Mexico says they're not going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it. Mexico's going to pay for it. Anyway, keep living in a fantasy world. Before you know it, your whole country will be gone. Your whole country will be gone, and you'll have the big bluffer, and you'll say, well, we voted to make America great, and then you'll blame the Democrats, and you'll blame this one, and Democrats are responsible, but, you know, no less responsible than you are, those of you that support Trump. You're just as responsible for what's going on, because you're supporting the policies that are a continuation of what the Democrats were doing, except at an even faster pace. JTF is important because JTF tells the truth. And almost no one is telling the truth today. Almost no one, whether in Israel or the United States, people are not telling the truth. The truth has to be told. If the truth were truly exposed to large numbers of people, this would be a different world. With the facts and the truth and the information reaching the people, it would be a whole different world, especially in Israel. Because a lot of the things we say about Bibi, Pippi's agreement with Pippi Netanyahu's agreement with the Polish government is not popular among many Israelis. So if we could reach large numbers of Israelis, it would influence things. And so we're pushing to do that. We're pushing to educate people as much as possible. This is one organization you can be proud of, and one movement you can be proud of, because we stand for the truth. And that's a rare commodity in today's world. Let's fight together. Let's expose the truth. Help us. Help us financially. Help us by promoting JTF all over the place and telling people about JTF. Bring them to these videos, the English videos, and certainly the Hebrew videos if you know Israelis or if you know people who speak Hebrew. Help us. If we fight together as a team, we still can make this a better world, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.